Jewish audio on Kabod.org.
This class is presented by Rabbi Leib Shapiro. Rabbi Leib Shapiro, a noted Talmudic scholar, is the dean of the Yeshiva Gedola Rabbinical College of Greater Miami, the rabbi of Congregation Beis Menachem, and the community leader in Miami Beach, Florida.
The class tonight, the shiur tonight, is on the topic that has a connection to this time of the year. We are now between Pesach and Shavuos. So the class will be to explain the spiritual meaning or the Kabbalistic meaning or difference between the Korban Omer that was brought on Pesach and the Korban called Shtei HaLechem that was brought on Shavuos. I'll first explain what it means in the Poshet, a simple pshat, simple meaning, and some of the details concerning these two in the simple meaning, and then we'll go to get a little bit deeper, try to understand what the deeper meaning, the more inner spiritual, pnimistic meaning of these korbanos are. Now, the simple meaning of the korban omer, that this was a special sacrifice that they brought on the second day of Pesach. It was made of flour. We know that in the korbanos, among the sacrifices, you had, some of them were made of animals, some were made of grain. Different types, different ways. So the Korban Omer was a special Korban brought specifically on the second day of Pesach. And the reason it was called Omer is because the word Omer means it's a certain measurement. Omer was the name of a measurement. And the amount of flour that they needed for this Korban was the amount of an Omer. So it was called the Korban Omer. It was brought on the second day of Pesach. On Shavuos, there was a special Korban called the Shtei HaLechem. The literal translation of the word Shtei HaLechem means two breads. There were two special breads, which again is also grain, made of flour, made into breads. And those were two special korbanos brought on Shavuos. Now this is in addition to the other korbanos brought on Pesach or brought on Shavuos. We know that every day they used to bring in the Beis HaMikdash a korban tamid, a special korban that was brought every day of the year. Then, Shabbos, Yontif, Rosh Chodesh, Chalamayit, they had extra korbanos, which were called musafim, korban musaf, which is the reason why we have on Shabbos, Yontif, Rosh Chodesh, we have the tefillah that we daven, the extra one, which is called musaf. Every day we daven Shachris, Mincha, Ma'ariv. On Shabbos, and Yontif, Rosh Chodesh, we daven an extra tefillah called musaf. What is the reason? Because the three tefillahs, Shachris, Mincha, Ma'ariv, are keneged the Korban Tamid. The Korban Tamid was, one Korban was brought in the morning, that's where Shachris comes from. Because the tefillahs, the prayers, are parallel to the Korbanos. The Mincha that we daven is parallel to the Korban Tamid, the Korban that he brought every day in the Beis HaMikdash in the afternoon. And then, because at night they were able to finish off the Korbanos, so they have another tefillah called Ma'ariv. Yontev and Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, they used to bring in the Beis HaMikdash extra korbanos called korban musaf, musafim. So we also daven on these days special korban. In addition to the korban musaf that they would bring on Shabbos, Yontif, Rosh Chodesh, Chol HaMoed, they brought on Pesach the korban omer, and on Shavuos they brought the special korban Shtei HaLechem. And I'll explain, tell you the details, some of the differences between the two. Number one, the korban omer was made of flour of barley, which was an exception to the rule. We know that, generally speaking, all the korbanos mincha, that means all the sacrifices that were made of flour in the Beis HaMikdash, were made of wheat, not of barley. Kol ha-menoches bo'is chitim, they're all wheat, except two. One is the korban seiter. A woman who was a seiter, the husband warned her not to go into hiding with a certain man, and she didn't listen, she went into hiding. And we don't know if she's guilty of any wrongdoing or not. So they would take her to the Beis HaMikdash and give her special water to drink, and that would be the test. She had to bring a korban mincha, made of flour. That was made of barley. And so too the korban omer was made of barley. While the Shtei HaLechem and Shavuos, the two breads were made of wheat, not of barley. That's one difference. Another difference, the korban omer was matzah. Wasn't chametz. It was made of barley. with water, but it didn't rise. It didn't let it rise. It was made of matzah. The shtei alechem was chametz, which the shtei alechem was an exception to all korbanos all year round in the Beis Hamikdash. The din is that in the Beis Hamikdash never, ever, ever were they allowed to bring a korban of chametz. Not only on Pesach. Throughout the whole year, they wouldn't bring a korban of chametz. And the Eimer, the korban Eimer, also was not chametz. The shtei alechem were specifically chametz. But the truth is, I have to say, the shtei alechem were not put on the mizbeach. They were not brought as a korban on the mizbeach. They are considered a korban of the mizbeach, but they actually physically were not burned on the mizbeach. They were given to the kohanim to eat. But it's considered a korban of the mizbeach. Why? Because together with the shtei alechem, I'm just telling you the details of the korban. Together with the shtei alechem, with these two breads, they had to bring shnei kvosim, special two sheep as korbanos for shvuas, which again is besides the musar, besides the other korbanos, they had the shnei kvosim, and the two lechem, the shtei alechem, came along with the shnei kvosim. And the shnei kvosim, they were burnt on the mizbeach. And because the shtei alechem came along with them, they were really considered like one korban. It's as if the shtei alechem were burnt on the mizbeach. Actually, in the Zayar, he says something very strange. In the Zayar, he says that on Shavuos, they would bring chometz on the mizbeach. And all the mafarshim of the Zayar don't understand. We know if you look in the Gemara, it's not true. The shtei alechem were not brought on the mizbeach. So the Rebbe explains it. He says what the Zayar means, because the shtei alechem were really part and parcel with the shnei kvosim, really it's one korban. And the shnei kvosim were brought on the mizbeach, so we consider the shtei alechem also as if it was on the mizbeach. And it was chometz. So here we have an exception, that this was chometz. So here's another difference between the korban Omer and the shtei alechem. The korban Omer brought on Pesach was, number one, barley. The shtei alechem was wheat. The korban Omer brought on Pesach was matzah, and the Omer on Pesach was matzah. The shtei alechem on Shavuos was chametz. Also, the shtei alechem came along with two kvasim, with two sheep. Now, besides the fact that there was a mitzvah to bring the korban Omer, and there was a mitzvah to bring in the Beis Hamikdash on Shavuos the shtei alechem, they had a purpose. The korban Omer that they brought on Pesach was matir, allowed the people to eat chodosh, which means that al pidin you are not allowed to eat any grain that grew, new grain that grew before the korban Omer was brought. Not only that, they weren't allowed to cut any of the wheat, any of the grain that grew, and certainly you couldn't eat it till after the Omer. After the Omer, you were allowed to cut and eat. Anything that grew new later, you couldn't eat it till next year, the Korban Omer. So the Korban Omer was a matir. Matir means it allowed. It made something that was forbidden till then, allowed. It allowed you to eat chodosh. Now the day that we don't have the Korban Omer, so chodesh is forbidden till after that second day of Pesach in Eretz Yisrael. See, concerning outside of Eretz Yisrael, there's a big controversy whether you're allowed to eat chodesh, the new grain, before the day of the Omer or not. There are people who are careful. Most people are not careful. But that's a chutz l'aretz, outside of Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, you're not allowed. And that time, it was the Omer that was matir. So again, we have to remember the Omer was matir, allowed people to eat chodesh. The shtei alechem allowed chodosh to be brought in the Beis Hamikdash. That means that even after the korban Omer was brought on Pesach, I don't know, maybe I sound confusing, but I'm not trying to. After the korban Omer was brought on Pesach, and people were allowed to start eating chodosh, the new grain, but as a korban in the Beis Hamikdash, you still couldn't bring any korban made of the new grain. For that, you had to wait for the shtei alechem. So the shtei alechem was matir, allowed chodosh on the mizbeach. Till then, you were not allowed to bring any korban from the new tzvua. The posuk says that the shtei alechem has to be mincho chadosho. The shtei alechem has to be the first korban mincho from the new grain. And therefore, before that, you were not allowed to bring anything from the new grain. So again, the korban Omer allowed chodosh to be eaten for regular, for hedyet, for all people, just to eat regularly. And the Shvei Alechem allowed chodesh for kotshim, for the karbonis, that you were allowed to bring it. Now there's an interesting din. The din is that if a person brought a korban of chodesh on the Mizbeach, before the korban Eimer, not only before the Shvei Alechem, before the korban Eimer, that korban is posel. The korban is invalid. I was going to bring another one, that one was posel. If you brought a korban from the new grain after the Eimer, before the Shvei Alechem, the korban was kosher. B'dievet. If you did it, it was kosher. You were not allowed to do it. You were not allowed to bring from the new grain before the Shvei Alechem. But if you did bring before the Shvei Alechem, b'dievet, it is kosher. But if you brought it before the Eimer yet, even in the Beis Hamikdash, it is possible. Yeah, any korban mincha. Oh, I mean, we have so many korbanos mincha. Machras and minchas, macheshes, and all kinds of minchas we have. Mafitaner, all kinds of korbanos mincha that we have. In the Torah we find a whole bunch of korbanos that you could bring that are animals, different kinds. An eilo, a shlomim, then you have a chatos, an osher, all kinds. And then you have a whole list of korbanos mincha, made of flour. Different types that you're able to bring. So you were not allowed to bring them from the new grain till after Shavuos, when they brought the Shtei Alecha. But if you brought them between Pesach and Shavuos, it was kosher b'dieved. But if you brought it before Pesach, then it's possible. These, so far, I just was repeating the general ideas of what they are and what the few of the halachas, the main halachas are concerning the Eimer and Shtei Alecha. What I'm going to go on now is to explain apichsidis. What is the difference? Why is the Eimer made of barley? The Shtei Alecha made of wheat. Why is the Eimer matzah? The Shtei Alecha is chometz. Why did the Shtei Alecha have to have the two sheep with it? Why is it that if you brought the Eved before the Eimer, you brought korban from Chodosh, it's possible. But if you brought it before the Shtei Alecha is kosher. So we have to understand, apichsidis, what is the difference between the korban Eimer, what was the purpose of the korban Eimer? Because there was a special korban, not like all korbanos. Because as I said, it's out of the ordinary. It's not a regular korban tamid, it's not a regular korban muslim. It's a special korban on the second day of Pesach. And here on Shavuos, again, we have a special korban of the Shtei Alechem with the two sheep. So let me just explain it the way Chassidus explains it. The korban Eimer is brought the second day of Pesach, which is right after Yitzias Mitzrayim. When the Yidden went out of Mitzrayim at that time, they were pretty, pretty low. They were still in the Memtesh Shari Tumah. They were sunk. We know what it says that the Yidden in the Mitzrayim, they became deep, deep down into the 49 gates of Tumah. Very, very low. It says that Hashem had not taken them out right then and there. They would have sunk into the 50th gate and that would be too late. But they were pretty low. It's like it says in the Agadah, a Pasuk, but the Taichet in the Agadah, Vayoreyo Eisono HaMitzrim, which Poshep Shat means that the Mitzrim were bad to us. But then it should have said, Vayareyu lono ha-mitzrim, that the Mitzrim did bad to us. What does Vayareyu eisonu ha-mitzrim? So the Shalom says, the Mitzrim made us bad. They slept us down. They made us bad. And the Yidden and Mitzrayim were very, very low spiritually. Their Yetzer Hora had the best of them. Or, using the expression of Chassidus, the Nefesh HaBahamis took control of them. Now, as we do find certain things that they were very careful with, it says they didn't change their names, they didn't change their garments, there were certain things that they were very strong with and they didn't assimilate. But as far as their spiritual level, they were very, very low. When they went out of Mitzrayim, it isn't the pshat that they elevated themselves to a higher level and therefore they were able to leave Mitzrayim and everything that Mitzrayim represents. It wasn't so. It says, Nigla aleihem melech malchei hamlochim hakadosh baruch hu golem. Hashem came, revealed himself to them, and shut them out. But they weren't ready for it. It's not that they elevated themselves, and they purified themselves, refined themselves, and they got rid of their yetzer hara, and they were able to go out. That's not what happened. Hashem swept them out. That's why it says, kibora chom, that they ran away from Mitzrayim. And in Tanya he asked the question, why did they run? No one was chasing them. Why did they have to escape? The Pasuk says, borach means they escaped from Mitzrayim. Why did they escape? As a matter of fact, Pharaoh told them to go. And he answered, they didn't escape from the Egyptians. They escaped from themselves. They escaped from the concept of Egypt. They knew
that they are so vulnerable, they knew that they are so low, that any small move, they'll be slapped back. They were just starting their Aveda. They were just starting to overcome their Nefesh HaBahamis, their animalistic soul, because it was still strong in them. So when they came out of Mitzrayim, and every year, Pesach, we start over again the cycle, so we're again starting off, we call it Chilas HaAveda, the beginning of our service of Hashem, when we are still in a very low level, and we still have our Nefesh HaBahamis. So the first thing we have to do is we have to bring a korban of the Nefesh HaBahamis. We have to shech, in this case, not shech, but bring a korban of the Nefesh HaBahamis, because the Nefesh HaBahamis is still there. And we have to fight with the Nefesh HaBahamis. We have to fight the Yetzer Hara, the Nefesh HaBahamis, to make sure that it doesn't bother us, because it's still there. And that's why the korban of Pesach, the second day of Pesach, right after Yetzias Mitzrayim, is a korban of barley. Barley, the Gemara says, is Maichol Behemah. Barley is food for an animal. The difference between barley and wheat. Sa'irim and Chitim, barley is food for an animal. Wheat is food for a human being. Since at that time, our animal is still very strong within us. And therefore, the korban is a korban. We have to be makriv. We have to sacrifice our behemah. So what is the korban? The korban is Michael behemah. The korban is made of food, which is food of an animal. Because this is, we're working with the animal that's within us, with the Nefesh HaBahamis. Which is exactly what it says by the korban seiter. By the korban of a seiter, the Gemara gives the reason, why is the korban of a seiter made of barley? And the Gemara says, because he also samaisa behemah. She behaved like an animal, so her korban is food of an animal. The exact same thing is, it is food of an animal that we're working with because we have to be makriv, the animal that's within us. And that's what the korban omer is. And from then on we start sfiras omer. We start counting the omer. Counting the omer means we start working with what the omer started. The omer is like the injection. Sometimes, you know, when you have to take antibiotics, so you have to take it for a certain amount of days, still it works. But the first one, they take two doses. That's the injection. So here, when we are in Mitzrayim, or we still have the Yetzer Hara, we have to fight with our Yetzer Hara, fight with the Nefesh HaBahamis, we have the Sfira Seimer. All these days are days that we work to overcome our Klipa, our Yetzer Hara. But the injection, the first one is the Korban Eimer, and that Korban is Michael Behemer, that's the Korban where Makrib the Behemer, and from then on we start working. And then we go on with the day. That's why all these days are called Sfira Seimer, because one might think, we know that these days are count. We count the days between Pesach and Shavuos, from Yetzias Mitzrayim to Matan Torah. Why connect it to the Emet? It should be called Sfiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, the counting from Yetzias, Sfiras Matan Torah, counting the days to Matan Torah. Why Sfiras Emet? Why counting the days from the Emet? The Emet was a korban they brought on the second day of Pesach. Fine, but why counting from the Emet? The reason is because this is the continuation of what the Emet started. The Emet starts with the Yetzahara, with working with the Nefesh HaBahamis and trying, working to overcome it. And that's where the time of refinement and elevation of the Nefesh HaBahamis goes on. And that's why we see that in the Yerotzen that we say after Sfira Soimer, what do we say? That the Sfira is to cleanse us from the Klipim, the Tum, and then take away Zuhamotum. To take away the Zuha means the Tumah, because we're still in a level that we still have the Tumah within us. And that is the reason why it was a Michael Behemah. That's what the Korban Behemah is. And that's how it goes on till we get to Shavuos. When we get to Shavuos, by that time, hopefully, we have refined ourselves and have already changed our Nefesh HaBahamis. We, our Behemah within us is not strong anymore. Now what we became is, now we're people. No, we have two parts within us. The truth is, every Yid has two parts. We have a Nefesh HaLakis and Nefesh HaBahamis, the godly soul, the animalistic soul. In the beginning, when we start off, we're still very low, and the animalistic soul is in control, and that's stronger, and we gotta work and work. Then finally, when we get to the top, we're finished with the animal within us, and now we work with the human being within us. There's a pasuk that says, Ruach ha-behema ha-yeredes hilamato, Ruach ha-odem ha-ele hilamailo. The spirit of a behema is always going down, and the spirit of a human being is always going up. The Gashmi, as we see, a behema always looks down. The Friedrich Rebbe once said, Abhema came on the Himmel nicht gesehen. An animal never saw the sky, always looks down. And the Adam is always looking up. So it says the Nefesh HaBahamis is the Behema. So the Nefesh HaBamis is the Behemoth that we have within us, and the Nefesh HaLikis is the Adam that we have within us, the person. And it fits to the Adam, because where does the word Adam come from? So in Chumash it says the word Adam comes, Kimei Adama L'Koch HaZeis, because he came from the Adama, from the ground. But in Chassidus, based on the Shalah, it says that the word Adam has another meaning. The word Adam comes from the word Adame L'Elyoin. Actually, Nebuchadnezzar said it, but what it means is, I am compared to above. That means that Neshama, which is a chelik of above. So by the time we finish with Sfira and we get to Shmuas, we have already finished with our Yetzer Hara, with our Nefesh HaBamis. Now, what we have is Shtei Alechem. Shtei Alechem now is not made from barley, that's made from wheat, which is a Maichalodon, food for a person. Because by that time, we're already working with the person. We are not anymore fighting with our Yetzer Hara. This is the reason why the Korban Eimer was Matzah, and the Shtelechem was Chometz. We all know that Matzah and Chometz, Matzah represents bittul, anivus, humility, doesn't represent ego, gaive, but Chometz, which rises, that's gaive, yeshes, person holds himself for a metzias. Now, the truth is, in essence, gaive is not a bad thing. Depends how it's used. Gaiva could be self-esteem that could be used for good. Gaiva could be used for good, Gaiva could be used for bad. You always repeat a story that there was this Chosid who said, when he, big Chosid, but he used to travel a lot to Petersburg, and there it was a place where the Gashmias and the Taivas were all in front of your eyes, and they asked him, how do you remain such a strong Chosid after being so often there? So he says, with Gaiva. He said, Gaiva, what does that mean? Says, yeah, I serve Hashem with Gaiva. When I pass by a movie theater and the Yetzer Hara tells me, no one sees, because Petersburg, no Yidden were allowed except those few that had a special order of shoes. Go in there, no one will see, there's nothing wrong. So I tell my Yetzer Hara, me? You know who I am? I'm such a great person. I'm the chosid of the Rebbe, I'm a tzaddik, I'm a baki b'shas, I know this, I know that. I should go in, never. So I serve Hashem with Gaiva. You could serve Hashem with Gaiva. Gaiva is not necessarily bad. It could be self-esteem, strength, in order to serve Hashem. But it's very, very dangerous. So when we're still holding in the beginning, Pesach, by the Korban Eimer, when the Yetzer Hara is still strong, and we're still working with the Nefesh HaBamis, then we say Chometz. No, no. Stay away from Chometz, because Chometz is terrible. Chometz, you don't know what will happen to you. Chometz, if you have Chometz, it'll lower you. But by the time we come to Shtei Alechem, to Shavuos, when we've already overcome the Yetzer Hara, now we're the Adam. Now we are safe. Now we could safely have Chometz. Now we could safely serve Hashem, have this gaiva, which is not gaiva of our own ego, it's gaiva of serving Hashem. And there's another reason why the Korban Eimer is Matzah and the Shtei Alechem is Chometz. The Gemara says in Psochim that Chometz has a taste. When it rises, it has a taste. Matzah is tasteless. When a person is still in the beginning of serving Hashem, the beginning, fighting the Yetzer Hara, he doesn't have a gishmak. He doesn't have a taste in what he's doing, a gishmak, a feeling. You're fighting the Yetzer Hara. You have to, the only way you can work, you're still not at a level where you really are close to Hashem and you really feel it. You're still in the low level, fighting the Yetzer Hara. It's a time when mainly you work with Kabbalah, Sa'il, Malchus Shemaim. You have no big levels, you're not in a big Baal Madrege. So you just accept the yoke. There's not too much of a gishmak there, not too much of a taste of a feeling. Later on, when you get to the level when you overcome Yetzer Hara, and now you are basically growing in Gedusha and growing in your connection to Hashem, that a person, in his Avedis Hashem, has a Gishmak. So therefore, Pesach, when you bring the Eimer, because it's the beginning and you're still with the Yetzer Hara, then it's Matzah. Comes to Shtei Alechem, then already you're not able, then it's Chometz, so you have to have Chometz, because that represents the fact that you already have a Gishmak. The only question is, we understand why you need the Korban Eimer, because the Korban Eimer is when you're makriv, you're Yetzer Hara. When you're finished with that, why do we need the Korban of the Shtei Alechem? What will the Shtei Alechem do? What is, if you're already, after you're finished with Yetzer Hara, and now you're working within Gdusha itself, you're not fighting the Yetzer Hara, why do you need a Korban of Shtei Alechem? What is it to do? What is it to accomplish? Now, obviously, this to accomplish. And we see, the Korban Eimer is matir, allows you to eat the things that you want to eat, which are new. The Shtei Alechem is not for Hegyet, it's for Kochim. In other words, what I'm trying to say is, I'll explain it soon, that the Shtei Alechem also accomplishes something in connection to holy matters. Because by the time you come to the Shtei Alechem, you're already at a level that you don't have to fight the Yitzhara, you're working within Kedusha. But within Kedusha, there is something that you have to have. For some reason, you have to have the Shtei Alechem. Which means like this. The Eimer is when you're not working within Kedusha yet. You're still in a level where you're fighting with the evil. You're fighting with your Nefesh HaBa'amis. So there you bring the Shtei Alechem. And what's the purpose? And you bring the Eimer. What's the purpose of the Eimer? The Eimer, by bringing the Korban Eimer, you are making sure that all the things that you're daily involved with for your goof, for your body, and all your materialistic things will be done in a proper way. Because we're still dealing when a person is still involved in his materialistic things. You know what it is? It's like, how come every day we have to daven in the morning before we go out to do our work? The Gemara says, you have to start off with the Beis HaKnesses. First you have to go to daven, then you go to the Beis HaMedrash to learn a shir, and then then you go to work in your daily work. Why does it have to go in that order? Because in order to make sure that your daily work, when you're involved in the Gashmias, which has to do with your Nefesh HaBa'amis, should be in a proper way, Kol Masecha L'Shem Shemayim, whatever you do should be L'Shem Shemayim, we have to have that first beginning, that foundation, so later on it'll be fine. The same here. We need the Korban Eimer in the beginning, and that's for our secular things, for our regular things that we work with, they should be in a proper way. Like davening is a beginning of Haneg V'Minig Derech Eretz of your full day. Another example. Before we eat, we have to make a bracha. Why do we make a bracha? Well, one reason we make a bracha is because otherwise you're stealing from Hashem. Hashem ordered some lawyer, everything belongs to Hashem, so you have to get permission. And if you don't make a bracha, you're stealing. But there's another reason. The purpose of the bracha is that when you're going to eat now, you should make sure that you're eating in the right way. I don't mean dafke kosher. That you're eating not for the taiva, because of your physical desire. You're eating l'shem shamayim. How do you do that? If you first make a bracha, you say, Baruch ato Hashem Elokeinu Melech Ha'olam, Shehakol Nihyeh B'dvarei. You praise Hashem, but everything comes from Him. And then you're going to go and eat and take a drink or eat something. Or you say, Bayer HaMinus, you created the Mezeinus, you. And then you're going to take a piece of cake to eat. You're going to eat it differently. So this is a form of making sure that you eat it. Because normally when you eat, you're fighting with the Yetzer Hara. When you're eating, the Zohar says, Name apum charbelecho. When you eat, you're holding a sword in your hand. The Yetzer Hara is there and you're going to war. Because when you eat, you can have a taiva. That's what the Rebbe said once, that when you eat, you should use a knife. He brought it from the Munkacher. Why? Because when you use a knife, it'll always remind you that you're fighting with the Yetzer Hara, you're holding a sword in your hand. But to make sure that you're fighting properly and you have the koyach to overcome the Yetzer Hara, when you are eating, make a bracha first. So there are certain things we have to do first when it comes to our ordinary daily things, daily needs. Nothing to do with Kedusha. We have to have, and the Yetzer Hara is involved, so we have to have the proper introduction, preparation. That's what the Korban Eimer is. Korban Eimer, as I said before, is when you're still, you have your Nefesh HaBa'amis, and you're still involved in your daily things, in materialistic things. The Korban Eimer will limit that Nefesh HaBa'amis. It's the Maichel Behemah. So we understand why, with the Korban Eimer, when the din we said before, that the Korban Eimer is Matir Chodosh Lehedyet, that it allows an ordinary person with this, an ordinary food, to start eating the food that you're supposed to eat, the new food. Because we're talking about an ordinary level, not a high level, an ordinary level where Nefesh HaBa'amis is still involved, and the Eimer is still working with the Nefesh HaBa'amis. The Shtei Alechem is not working with the Nefesh HaBa'amis, because Shtei Alechem, before, is at the point when you are already finished with the Nefesh HaBa'amis. You are now at a level that you're working within Kedusha itself, you're not fighting the evil. So what is the purpose of the Shtei Alechem? That you need the Shtei Alechem when you are getting involved in Kochim, and we see you need it. That for Korbanes, you need the Shtei Alechem, and without the Shtei Alechem, you can't bring the new Korban. Obviously, there is a need, even for Kochim, for holy matters, Korbanes are Kochim, you need the Shtei Alechem. What does the Shtei Alechem represent that we need the Shtei Alechem? So the pshat is like this. When you go to do holy things, and let's pick an example of a holy thing, learning Torah. The greatest thing. Before you learn Torah, you also have to make a bracha. Not only before you eat, in order to make sure that when you eat, your nefesh of amis doesn't get the better of you. Before you learn, you have to make a brichas ha-Torah. What does the brichas ha-Torah represent? That before you learn Torah, you have to remember that the Torah came from Hashem. And before you learn Torah, you have to have the proper Yira Shamayim, the proper bittul to Hashem, that when you learn Torah, you don't learn it as a chokhmah, as just as another subject, as deep as it is, but you learn it because of the Kedusha of Torah. So a person could reach a level where now he's going to learn Torah, but if he doesn't have that bittul before that, then his learning Torah won't be in a proper way, even though he's involved in Kedusha. And the same is with mitzvahs. Like we find by Hanukkah, what did the Yevonim want? It says they didn't want the people to stop learning Torah. They wanted Lashkicham Torah Secho, they might even make him forget that it's your Torah. Or Lavira Mechukir Itzenecha, that you shouldn't do the mitzvah because it's the Ratzon Hashem. So even when it comes to Kedusha matters, you have to have the proper bittul. Like we say in davening every day, three times a day, Ishmael Esre. Benafshik Yehofer Lakel Tia, Psachli Bibisera Secho. I am like dust to everyone, which is I'm bottle, I'm nothing. Then it says, open my heart to Torah. So Chassidus says they go together. If you want your heart to be open to Torah, you have to first have the bittul. If you don't have the bittul, you won't. Now it doesn't say, open my mind to Torah. Because to have your mind open to Torah, you don't have to have bittul. Any person who has a brain sits down and learns and understands. But that's not what really Torah is. Open the heart to Torah, which means not the seichel of the Torah, but the kedusha of the Torah that comes to the heart. For that you have to have bittul. So this is what the Shtei Alechem represents. The Eimer represents that in order to get to your ordinary things, to allow you to have the ordinary proper way, you have to have the Eimer. And in order to have the Kedusha to get things, you have to have the Shtei Alechem, which represents the Bittul. How does the Shtei Alechem represent the Bittul? The Shtei Alechem came along with the two sheep. We all know, it says in Chassidus, but it's fact that sheep represent Bittul. The sheep are quiet and low and they represent bittul. And what we're saying here is that you have to, before you start using the new grain for kotshim, you're getting involved in holy matters, you have to put together the shtei ha-lechem with the sheep. What is lechem? We all know, ein lechem ela Torah. Bread represents Torah. That when you're going to have the Torah has to be one with the sheep. You have to have the bittul when you learn Torah. And this is hinted also in the fact that it's shtei halechem, two breads. What's the meaning of two breads? So it says in the Zohar that the two breads, since bread is Torah, it represents Torah shebiktav and Torah shebalpeh. The written Torah and the oral Torah. Now we know that the written Torah is more bittul than the oral Torah. The oral Torah is something that we have to understand with our seichel. We have to use our brain. If a person learns the oral Torah, Gemara, or anything else, and doesn't understand what he's talking about, it's not learning. You can't make a bracha. But Torah shebiktav, the written Torah, even if you don't understand the words themselves, that's holy. That's why even an Amhoret, who doesn't know what he's talking about, gets up to an Aliyah, he makes a bracha. Because the words of Torah are there whether you understand or not. So when we're dealing with understanding, that's your own metzias. You use your brain and I understand. Torah shebiktav, which is not the point of the understanding of it, that's more accepting the Torah because it's Hashem's Torah, that's more bittul. So what we have to do before we do any kotchim, before we get into anything new in kotchim, we have to have shtei halechem, which represents the combination of Torah shebiktav and Torah shebalpeh, that whatever Torah shebiktav represents, which is the bittul, has to be together with the Torah shebalpeh, you have to have the bittul. As we said, that's why it's together with the sheep, to show that the Torah has to be the sheep. And then it says something else. Why is the shtei halechem two breads? For another reason. Another way we divide the Torah into two parts. Nigla and Nister. In Torah we have the hidden, the revealed part of the Torah and the hidden part of the Torah. We know that in the hidden part of the Torah we don't feel, in the revealed part of the Torah we don't feel the bittul so much. Because the revealed part of the Torah deals with logical things, seicholic things. So we learn about it and we use our seichel and we understand and we ask questions and answers. Then the bittul is not felt. But when we learn the inner part, the secret of the Torah, what does it deal with? It constantly deals with Hashem. All it talks about Hashem and the Elam Esoyein and the higher worlds and the spheres and the higher, and and how you have Avos Hashem, it deals with Hashem. So the bittul is felt more in Nister, in the hidden part, than in the revealed part. And that's the remez of Shtei HaLechem. You have to have the two breaths together. That when you are going now to deal with Kochim, you're finished with the Nefesh HaBahamis. You're not fighting it anymore. But now you're involved in Kedusha Dike matters. Being involved in Kedusha Dike matters, you have to have the Bittul before you get involved. And that's why you have to have the Shtei Alechem, the two. So we have three Ramozim, Shtei Alechem, which represent the same thing. The fact that it's the bread with the sheep, it's the Bittul with the Torah. The two parts of Torah, the Torah Shebiksav and Torah Shebalpeh, the Torah Shebiksav is the Bittul that we have and we have to put them together. And the Nister and the Nigel, the hidden and the revealed, that the hidden, which is the Bittul, has to come to the revealed. And that's what the Shtei Alechem is. And now we understand why, if a person will bring a korban from the new fruit, the grain, before the korban, aimer the korban is possible. But if you bring before the Shtei Alechem, it's kosher. Why? Because if you bring it before the aimer, you know how terrible that is. That means before you did anything to fight your Nefesh HaBahamis, then it's very scary, even when you get involved in holy matters. You're going to bring a korban before you did the aimer. The aimer is when you're makriv to Nefesh HaBahamis. Before you're makriv Nefesh HaBahamis, you know what the problem is. You learn Torah and the Torah could be against you. It says in Gemara that if you don't learn Torah properly, naturally samamovas, it become poison. So before the aimer, before you did anything to your Nefesh HaBahamis, you're bringing a korban. That's terrible. It's possible. If you worked with your Nefesh HaBahamis, it's after the aimer, but you didn't get to the level of the Shtei Alechem yet, it's not right. In order to learn Torah properly, you have to have what the Shtei Alechem represents. But the Di'evet, if you didn't have it, it's not so geferlach. But you have a discussion, because after all, you already overcame your Nefesh HaBahamis. Elamai, you don't have that higher level, so it's only missing Ishlemus. So this is the general idea, the difference between the Korban Noimer and the Shtei Alechem. But then, I want to go a little bit further in the Shtei Alechem itself, more Api Kabbalah, not Kabbalistic, but more what it says in Kabbalah Svarim, concerning what the Shtei Alechem, specifically Shtei Alechem, represent on Shavuos. It says in a Sefer called Teilas Yaakov, Kabbalah Sefer. So he says like this, on Shavuos we have the Shtei Alechem, which as we said before is Chometz. We also have other Karbonos which are Mincha on Shavuos too. We have other Karbonos made of flour, but the other ones are Matzah. So basically he says that on Shavuos we are Makriv, Chometz and Matzah. The Shtei Alechem is Chometz and this is Matzah. He says like this, based on the Zohar, Chometz represents the goof and Matzah represents the Neshama. It's self understood. Chometz, which rises, which is always used as a word for negativity, for yeshes, your ometz is not being bottled to Hashem, that's the body, the physical body, the physicality always is, Eilam is the world, is a helam, the hester, a concealment of Hashem. Matzah, which represents more Gedusha, represents the Neshama. So he says, Shavuos represents the ultimate. Shavuos, the day of Matan Torah, represents the ultimate, which is a time of Tchias HaMesim. This is the reason he says that on Shavuos we are Makriv, Chometz and Matzah, which represents the Neshama and the Guf, because when Tchias HaMesim will come, we will have the Neshama and the Guf. When we go to Gan Eden, see down here, we're down here, that's not the reward yet. But when we get reward and we go to Gan Eden, there we only have the Neshama. The body is not there. But Tchias HaMesim is a time when we will have the Guf and the Neshama, the body and the Neshama. And that's why Shavuos, which represents, La'osit Lovei represents Tchias HaMesim, we're Makriv Chometz HaMatzah. All year round, we're only Makriv Matzah. Never ever Chometz, like I said. Shavuos or Makriv Matzah. Chometz too. Even though I said before, we're not Makriv it actually. But as I said, the Rebbe explains that the pshat is that since it's part of the other korban, it's as if you were makriv the chometz. But we are makriv them both. But then the question is, if it's supposed to represent Tchias HaMesim, when the guf and the neshama will be there, and they both will be nehane meziv ashchina, they will both have the pleasure of the ziv, the rays, the glory of Hashem, why take are we not makriv the chometz actually on the mizbeach? If it's supposed to represent that both the guf and the neshama have pleasure from Hashem the same way, so we should be makriv the chometz and the matzah equally, because the guf and the neshama will be equal. And the Rebbe asked that question. And this is what the Rebbe explains. He explains like this. A little bit long, it's not so long. So the Rebbe explains like this, that we know that the tachlis why the neshama came down to this world is to keep Torah mitzvahs. That's why Hashem created the world. That's why Hashem brought the neshama down to this world. In order to keep Torah mitzvahs, you have to have a combination of the guf and the neshama, body and the neshama. And he says why? The neshama, which is part of Hashem, wants to do the mitzvahs. He wants to do what Hashem wants. The body, unfortunately, which is gashmi, doesn't want. The only way the body does want to do it, because the neshama is in it. And the neshama wants, automatically the body, because the neshama wants. But it's the neshama's inyan of wanting to do mitzvahs. So we need a neshama in order to have that will to do mitzvahs. We need the body, because without the body you can't do it. The neshama itself can't do it. So it's a combination of the two. It's only when we have the neshama who wants it, the body who could do it, together we are able to make mitzvahs. The neshama without the body could want from today till tomorrow, can't do it. The body itself could do it, but doesn't want. So you need them both. And the Rebbe says, interesting thing, it's hinted in the famous moshel that the Gemara gives in the negative side, but it's the same idea for Averis. It says that by Tchias HaMeisim, Hashem will put the guf and the neshama together, and for any sins, He'll punish them both. And the Gemara says, why will He punish them both? So the Gemara says, because the neshama is going to say, I didn't do the Avera, the body did it. And the body is going to say, if not for the neshama, I'd never be able to do it. So Hashem says, you know, I'll put you together, and I'll punish you together. And the Gemara gives a mashal of there was, a king had a beautiful orchard, and he was afraid to put guards there, because the guards themselves could go and eat of the fruit, such tasty fruit. So he had a good svara. He hired two guards. One was blind, and one couldn't walk. So you know, the one was blind, couldn't see it. So he's just there to hear the noises. The one that couldn't walk won't be able to get there to cut it. So what happened? So the one that couldn't walk was able to see, saw the beautiful fruit, but couldn't get there. So he turns around to the blind guy and he says, you know, there's a lot of fruit there. I can't get there because I don't have, my feet don't walk. You have feet, you could walk. You can't see. But you know what? You ride on my I'll ride on your shoulder. I'll guide you where to go. You'll walk and then we'll go and take the fruit. And that's exactly what they did. They took off the fruit and they ate up all the fruit. The king came and he checked it. And he saw the fruit they're missing. So he turns around to them. What did you guys do? We didn't do it. The blind guy, I did it. I can't even see it. The other guy says, I did it. How could I get there? But the king was smart. He knew what they did. So he realized that what happened is that he wrote on him. So each one said, you can't punish me. So what the king did, he took the blind guy, put him on top of the other guy, and he punished them together. He says, not you together did it. The same thing Hashem is going to do with the guf and the neshama. So the Rebbe says, here we see, from this mashal, the guy who could see, sees it and wants it, but he can't do it. The guy who can't walk, the guy who sees it can't do it. The other guy could do it, but he doesn't want it. He doesn't see it, doesn't want it. So, this is a mashal for the guf and the neshama. One wants, and one could do it, and between the two together, the mitzvahs are done. When Mashiach will come, and there will be Tchias HaMeisim, Hashem is going to give reward to the guf and the neshama together. Now, normally we say they'll be given together equally, because they both take part. But nevertheless, it says, that even though the reward will give them equally, and there will be elikus, ziva shchina, godly rays that will come down and they will enjoy it, the guf and the neshama, both of them will enjoy it, but the neshama, the guf will take it through the neshama. Even though the rays will be so strong that even the guf will be able to take it. Now, the body cannot take the ziva shchina. The neshama could, the body can. Then it will be able to. But how will Hashem give that ziva shchina to the body? Through the neshama. Because the neshama is now spiritual, so the neshama is more a vessel to take it. So when there'll be Tchias HaMeisim, it'll come down to the neshama, and through the neshama, it'll come to the body. Because the neshama had the spiritual part of it, the body had the physical part, so even though the body will be able to take it and have it, but it'll go through the neshama. So the Rebbe says, therefore, since it's going to go through the neshama is the one that goes on the Mizbeach. What was the question? If The chometz and the matzah, they represent the guf and the neshama, and it represents, shvuos represents tchiyas ha-meisim. So why don't you put them both on the mizbeach? Because they're both equal when it comes to tchiyas ha-meisim. Why is it that the matzah is actually put on the mizbeach? The chometz is not actually put on the mizbeach, it's only considered like through the kvosim, but really not. So the Rebbe says the reason is because the guf, as much as it's going to take the ziva shinel when tchiyas ha-meisim, will take it not direct, but indirect. It'll get a lot, all of it. And it'll get it so strong that it's going to be able to give chayas to the neshama too. But it's going to get it through the neshama. So since it's indirect, so our shvuas, we do the same. The matzah which represents the neshama is directly brought on the mizbeach, which represents pleasure from the ziva shchina. But the chometz doesn't go direct on the mizbeach. But it's considered as if, because it will get the rays of the shchina like the neshama, but indirect. And that's why it's not actually put on the mizbeach. But whichever way, the shtei alechem represent tchiyas ha-meisim. So here we see that Shavuos, besides being the day of Matan Torah, is also a day that represents tchiyas ha-meisim, and the shtei alechem is the form of showing that tchiyas ha-meisim will be for the guf and the neshama.